Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Universe podcast. I'm your host Leo, here with Ellie, Jarlett, Dora and Philip. Hello everybody.
Hi.
Today we're discussing aspects of writing gender, experiences with it and maybe also how to do it. Just a quick disclaimer, in this round of people we're all cisgender people, so even though we might touch on transgender and genderqueer aspects of writing gender, we're definitely not experts here, and I'm sure there's people you should rather listen to on these aspects. Just so you know, let's do a quick round of introductions so everybody says their names and hello so people know which voice to assign to which name. Would you like to start, Philip?
Okay, hi, I'm Philip. I've been on a podcast once before, and this is my cis male voice.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ellie. You might remember me as Leo's co-host from the previous episodes.
Hi, my name is Dora. This is my first time on the podcast, and I'm very excited to share my ideas and looking forward to talk.
And I'm Charlotte, you also might already know me as Leo's co-host from some other episodes.
Great. It's really good to have you all here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Just so the listeners know, we're here at Charlotte's place. I think it's your work room?
Kind of, yeah.
It's very cozy.
It's my work and dressing room.
Okay.
Fancy.
Very fancy. It's a bit cuddly, but it's all right. Let's start with the first question. Have you ever thought about authentically describing a man or a woman or any other gender in any of your texts?
In what way do you mean authentically? Can you elaborate
a little bit? Well, I imagine there's a right and a wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. There are certain things. I suppose you can always do it badly. Mm-hmm. You can always write a character in a way that will make people not believe that they are a man or a woman or a transgender person.
So out of the stereotype, in a way.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I really have consciously tried to do that, but I was once made aware by a friend that in the story I'd written, the main character seemed a bit strange because he wasn't really like men are supposed to be. And then we had a long discussion about it, and I said, I don't really know what an authentic man is supposed to be, first of all. And secondly, I was like, this is my story and it's about a person and the character and not about the gender this person has. So I didn't really get the whole point, but I don't know what you guys
think. That's a great point, because we are talking about characters and personalities. And I feel like gender norms or maybe stereotypes are shaping us in a way or limiting us in some way, because then if you're a man and you have to act in a certain way or do certain things, and well, I just want to have a character who has features from both genders, it's just a person, so what's the point in limiting them in some way? But I understand why it might come off really strange for some people, because this is sort of normalized in a way.
Hmm.
I think, speaking for myself, in like the early days of my writing, I tried harder to establish the difference between the masculine and the feminine voices of the characters. But I think as I went on writing, I just wrote what felt natural to those characters' personalities, and every now and then I just think, okay, like, would this like male or female friend of mine say it like this? And that's like the most I think about the gender, the authenticity of the gender now.
Well, for me, about authentic writing, always this gender authenticity, what comes up is typical romantic novels, which are basically not true, not reality, what they write about there. And I always try to, as you guys said, focus rather on personality, and that we're all humans, and basically these things are just fluid, and not to conform to these roles that are somehow prescribed by society or norms.
So you're all quite unconventional writers, I feel.
Maybe in that regard at least.
But there are characters who would conform to those norms, because there are people in life who do. So
exactly.
you can have those characters.
Isn't it writing always about experimenting also with identities? Not just other identities, but also with yours. And like, that's why we're not regular in this way, because I think who writes and who's into literature likes to find out these ways of gender.
That's a great point. Yeah, I suppose it's a great tool of exploring how people might be and how people could be, and also how people are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you design a character, I have to say, I don't know anything about designing a character. I only write poetry.
Yeah, me too.
I have no idea. I have absolutely not a clue. How do you approach this? Are there any steps, techniques you use? Because gender is a part of your character. So where does this factor in when you write a character, when you start thinking about what is this character and what are they like?
I usually write from sort of like the first person, so I always have myself in mind, and usually I go for female lead characters, because I don't know, they're more relatable, I guess.
Mm.
And I always struggle with finding some ways to like describe a male character in a, like, inherently, because I don't know what they're like, in what way do they differ from the female characters that I have, or what are they doing in their free times, how do they handle situations. I don't really have a clue. I mean, I have male friends, I don't know, I have male family members, but I can't really, it's harder for me to relate and make a character out of it. Like, rather than, I mean, comparing to female characters, it's always harder to do the opposite gender, in a way. Because I also don't know what's acceptable, what's not, what's going to come off really strange when people are reading it and what's not. So sometimes that's a problem, I guess.
I think I get your point, but I always say to people who criticize things like that, I say, first of all, I'm an artist, and I created this story, and I created the people in the story, and who can tell me that of all of the 3.5 billion men or women in the world, there's not one single one who is like the person I've created.
You're the god of your story.
Exactly, and I mean, not every man is the same way, and not every woman is the same way. So, and like, of course, I mean, there are more typical, stereotypically speaking, more typical men and more typical women, but they don't have to appear in my stories.
Yeah, true. That also means that you're thinking outside of that box, in a way. If you don't know what is normal or what's considered the norm, then you're actually creating, is what we talked about before, you're creating a personality from scratch, so you don't really have that kind of bias, in a way. So it can even be good to show people, I can be this, I don't have to have certain qualities, I don't have to do certain things to be a man or to be a woman.
Like, exactly.
This exists.
And to answer your question, Liu, all I can say to my character development is that the characters that I write about just come to me. Sounds very strange, I know, but sometimes I feel like I am kind of like a vessel for somebody else's story. And then I write it down, and then it's there. And I don't know where it came from. I just know that I had to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are all these people coming up, and I know that this person wants to be like this, and this person wants to be like this. And then there's somebody very young and somebody very old, and maybe a few men and maybe a few women. And yeah, that's kind of vague and strange, I know, but that's my process.
But it's the same with poetry, I guess, right? Like, when it just comes to you. Sort of, you don't really explicitly think about it, it's kind of there. It just shapes in your mind, and then you just, like, let it out.
Yeah, it's really difficult for poetry, I think, because, yeah, I don't really think about the gender of the speaker in my poetry.
Generally, even. I mean, when you said, like, characters come to you, it's, like, the same with just, like, you don't have to have a character in a poetry, but...
No.
Just, like, the words and the whole idea just comes to you. You don't really construct something so explicitly. Sometimes you do, but usually when it comes to art...
I really enjoy in poetry that it's kind of dense and there is more focus on the language, and in English and also in German you can experiment with the gender differences, with the pronouns, because my mother tongue is Hungarian and we don't have that. And I have to tell it to the reader explicitly in Hungarian if whether I'm a woman or a man. But with English you can play with that, with words, and poetry allows that, with rhymes and and more focus on the language. And I think it's very interesting if you create a poetic speaker or lyrical eye. I also experimented with short stories, actually, and I always wrote about women. I wrote two stories. And in both, it's interesting that I always imagine my characters as solitary and those, like, not depending on someone else, but it's interesting how they are so fluid in character, in both gender and, I don't know. It's not like the norm. Women should depend on man.
Yeah.
To add something to what Charlotte said, I think probably a lot of writers, or even most writers, can relate to the idea that a character just sort of comes to you, or you've had this idea of a character in your mind for a while, but you don't know where they come from, or you forgot where they come from, and then just put them down to paper. And to me personally, I think it's either that when I create a character, it's either just a lot of thought processes happening at the same time and I already have a picture, but when I really think about it, like, I think gender is like one of the first things that comes into play, because it gives me a clearer picture of what this character looks like. And I think it's just much easier to write someone and describe someone, even describe someone's personality, if you have a picture in your mind. And otherwise, I think, to me, it's first, like, gender, maybe like a general, like a vague silhouette of the person's look, of the character's looks, and like a core personality trait. And around that core, I try to build around it, because if you only have one personality trait, your character is going to be one-dimensional. But, you know, creating a three-dimensional character is a lot of work, and you can slowly build around that. You can have a character that's at its core, who, like, let's say a female character, let's call her Jessica, at her core she is a goofball, but you can build around her and say, well, maybe she's compensating for her negative feelings with her jokes, and you just go on from there.
Mm-hmm. Also, maybe like a backstory to their, I don't know, why they're acting the way they are, or in that sense, like, gender isn't a big issue for me, because as you said, like, I have this image, okay, they're female or male, but then, like, what they've been through is, like, can be, like, it doesn't have to be defined by gender, it's just happened to them, and in a way, like, that's the main thing that shapes the characters for me. Like, what did they go through and how did they come to this point in the story?
I think also for me, just to go back to my thing.
Yeah.
So it's not that I didn't listen to you. I just remembered something that I wanted to ask.
Go ahead.
I think I usually write a gender that I hadn't written in a while. So if the last character that I wrote was male, the next character I'm going to write is more likely to be female, and the other way around.
Mm-hmm. But that's good to kind of practice and experiment around with characters.
Yeah. Otherwise I get bored.
Yeah.
I kind of recently thought that I think that there are not enough female protagonists in literature, so I started to mostly write my stories from a female perspective. I don't know if that's like justified or not, but I decided to do that. And something else I wanted to say is that sometimes, weirdly, when I read poetry and I don't know who wrote it, I sometimes have a narrator in mind who has a certain gender, and I don't know why, I don't know where it comes from. I just think of this person as a woman or as a man or as something else, and I'm like, okay, why did I get this notion? Is it in the language? Is it in the words? Is it me projecting it? That's something I find very interesting. And then to what you said about Hungarian not having the male and female mm-hmm. pronoun, it's the same in Finnish. Mm-hmm. And I spent a year in Finland to study, and a friend of mine from France studies Finnish, the language, and she said for her it was very strange once. She read a love story in Finnish, and only until the very last pages she didn't understand that the characters were two women, because there is no pronoun that says she or he. It's just one that says, it's like a person.
Third person.
And, yeah. And that was very like eye-opening to her. She realized, oh, okay, these are two women. I really didn't get that.
That actually says a lot about the culture and the society.
Yeah, I guess
it does. How important gender definitions is for them or not.
Maybe.
I think.
We have a very conventional society in Hungary, I think. Mm-hmm. So this is not even a topic, mm-hmm. I guess. These, at least in rural areas. I think that also makes a big difference where we live. I mean,
mm-hmm.
in such an urban area, we can't even imagine this not to be a topic. But like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And back to your thing, mm-hmm. this swapping
mm-hmm.
perspectives and gender, I think a lot of empathy and sensitivity is needed for this, to be able to imagine yourself inside a person who is into another gender or another sex, maybe. And it's like a great experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
For me, this is very difficult, I have to say, because I don't know, since poems don't have active characterization, I'd say, most of them don't. Of course, it's possible to, in a poem, for the speaker to say, I am this and this, but I think most of the time it will happen indirectly, so that you might take a guess towards the gender of the speaker from the things they say, so you make a judgment about that. I'm thinking about my poetry. If there is any indication at all, I'm sure there is, there must be, for the speaker. But since most of my poems kind of are observations and feelings that come from myself, even though the speaker isn't necessarily myself, of course, I suppose the speaker is also male, because I wrote them and I wrote them from my point of view. But I'm not entirely sure if that's always discernible for the reader, if you know what I mean.
What is amazing, I think, is if you imagine your poems read by a female, or if your speaker is a female, it might give your poems a whole new meaning.
That's true.
Totally, yeah.
I find that amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all about the subconscious rules mm-hmm. and ideas that we have about genders, and then when we read something, maybe we read something totally emotional and really, I don't know, like, yeah, emotions are more associated with the feminine and everything, and then people might automatically be like, that must be a female author, which is mm-hmm. obviously not really the way to go, but it is true, because we do have some kind of certain associations, but we never know.
I'm thinking about other poetry that I've read, and I think for poetry it's really hard to judge.
I had my own poetry in mind, like the last one that I read about, like this inner struggle and inner demons, and I was like thinking about that in my head, and I'm like, people would probably tell like that I'm a female, because it's like really detailed, and I don't know, I I don't know why, as you said, I'm just like, if you read something, you're just getting these ideas and you don't even know what, where exactly it's coming from. But I was just thinking that people would know that I'm a female.
We could make, like, there should be an experiment. There should be a poem without an author. And people should be asked
this
to say...
This could be our next event.
Did a man or a woman write this? Or is the speaker male or female? Uh-huh. That would be so interesting.
That would be great.
I think that it can't be told. And I also don't think that it has to be. I think it's completely redundant for the enjoyment of a poem.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will probably say that a person of their own gender is the speaker or the protagonist if it's not given. I think that's kind of just a thing we sometimes automatically do, as if we don't have enough information about our, I don't know if you can call it a protagonist in poetry, but let's call it a protagonist, that we just put ourselves in their shoes, and like unless proven otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Unless the poem is very, like Ellie mentioned, either very full of emotions and very lovey-dovey, or it's kind of very the opposite, it's like very stereotypical, then it might happen that men said, oh no, a woman must have written this because, I mean, no man would.
I mean, yeah, the stereotypical ones, yeah, but even when... Like, you have, like, I had this imagery of, like, blood and the veins and the organs and stuff, but I'm still feeling like that is, like, too much detail for people to associate with the masculine. For some reason, I had that, like, which is obviously not, it's a biased opinion because, like, yeah, it's not true. It's not really about that at all, but I was thinking people might maybe think about it like that through their, maybe if they have those ideas.
You know what's funny? That we are in the 21st century and this is still a thought that you have in your head when writing such a poem as a woman, that it might be too masculine. Oh my god.
No, that wasn't my concern.
Yeah.
And the other way around, I'm like, I don't like to be a stereotypical person from me. Like, I don't want to be a stereotypical female because I don't want to support that image of a female. I mean, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be what you are and what you feel like and what you want to be like. If you want to be feminine, that should be okay to be feminine. And I definitely have feminine sides and maybe more masculine sides of me. We're all multidimensional people. But I have this fear of, like, coming off stereotypical in some way that I'm, like, avoiding even more from coming off or sounding feminine. Which is, like, also in a way problematic, if you think about it. Not just like, oh, I'm a female and I'm really scared of, like, coming off masculine or male-like. But I'm actually scared of what is associated with my own gender. So that I don't come off stereotypical.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a problem, I think.
Yeah.
I'm a bit confused now. Do you mean in writing or in general?
Writing, in, like, could also be, I guess, interpreted in general, but
okay.
When I have a female character, I don't want that character to be too stereotypical, then it sort of ends up being one-dimensional, because you're, like, just what people would imagine you to be like, or, yeah, basically just, like, really, really stereotypical, that there is no depth in that. In a way, or I don't know, but I don't think that people should be afraid of still being who they are or, like, creating characters that are stereotypical in some ways, because that's how they're,
and I think
you're human.
Sometimes each one of us sometimes is stereotypical,
in some ways.
Because we just can't not be, and sometimes we are the complete opposite, which is also totally
exactly.
Stereotypical means something that is considered to be real by our society, and we ought to follow those rules that are prescribed by this heteronormative society. And what we have in our life, what is really reality, we start to have doubts in that, because we think that what is told to us and showed to us in culture, that should be like a normal relationship or like typical gender characteristics, we start to feel doubts within ourselves.
Yes.
Because we don't have them. But that's actually just an image built up.
I totally agree. I was once... I was really shocked when one of... the person I know once told me, well, you know, you surprised me because you're so unhysterical for a woman.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, sorry. What is that even? I don't even know where to begin to answer this, so to this statement. But then I realized that, as you said, this norm that is put on all of us by society has caused that that a lot of people behave like that. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of men meet very stereotypical women, and then a lot of women meet stereotypical men, and then they think, okay, all men are like that, or all women are like that. And when they meet somebody who is different, they're surprised.
This is what Bourdieu calls a doxic experience. Are you familiar with Bourdieu?
A little bit.
Pierre Bourdieu, he's a French philosopher. Well, sociologist and philosopher, I suppose. And he has this concept of the habitus, which is the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, the way you think, the way you experience stuff. And this is imprinted on you from the world. And then in this way, it's imprinted on you first, and then you act this way, and then you re-imprint that on the world in turn. And if your habitus always agrees with the habitus of everybody else you meet in the world, it's more difficult for you to perceive that this is only social conditioning, and this is then the toxic experience.
If I might go back to the writing, I think when you think about how people might perceive your writing, as in, is this too feminine? Is it feminine enough? I think that's just really bad influence from the outside. And I would just advise to just not think about reaction, to just write how you feel. And in my experience, that's just the best writing. Because, I mean, people are going to judge your writing either way. And if you write a story with male or female characters, there's going to be comments on, is this authentic? Is it not? It's just don't care.
Exactly. And I mean, we talked about it in another podcast session, but we were saying we convey ideologies through writing. And I feel like if you portray something outside of the stereotype or the, like, bias norm or just something defined, you show people that there's another way to it. That not everyone has to be this way because of their gender. And I would really like to do that. That's the only thing I'm conscious about, rather than thinking, is it going to come off like too feminine or not feminine enough? But I'm like, I actually want to portray a character that is sort of like showing people that this could be, there could be another way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the only thing I would be concerned about, but still. You don't want it to be too edgy so that it's not that strange. I don't know. Like, there should be a level for it to, like, work with people, to actually get to people. Because if it's too much, too edgy, I feel like people are going to be like, ah, okay, this is bullshit. Like, I don't know, I'm not going to take it in because it's not realistic anymore.
Also, I think there's a point where you can get too much criticism, and then that also is a problem. Because then people don't look at your story anymore and don't look at your characters anymore.
They can't resonate with that.
Exactly. Anymore. I mean, if, for instance, you write a very, very rebellious female character, people might object to it and say, oh my God, this is like not a woman anymore. Or on the other hand, if you would write about a man who cries all the time for whatever reason, I don't know, and people would also maybe have problems with that, and then... Yeah. You wouldn't be able to publish your story.
There's always an audience for these things, and especially maybe publishers wouldn't do it. But in this day and age, on the internet, there's pockets of people who would really be into this kind of thing.
I mean, if that's what you're going for, that's great. But if you want people to actually resonate with that and really take it in, I think it should be a little bit subtle and just like sort of like make it more realistic and personal so that they actually take it in and not be like, well, this is just something too edgy and I can't make a connection with this character.
I think maybe what you mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you have, like, for example, a female character who's very, like, tomboyish, you don't, or, like, masculine, you don't want her entire character just to be about her being masculine.
Exactly.
Yeah, that of course, not writing in a tokenistic way, but actually writing fleshed out characters. About the discussion you had before, I just want to say, you know, about being afraid of coming across in a stereotypic way while you're writing and like the content of your writing. I don't know if that is maybe my privileged position, but I've never worried about that, I suppose. Not really. Like, I write what I want to write, but I think I have a second filter. My filter isn't what I write, but my filter begins rather like what I share. If I look at things I share, I don't really share stuff about mental health, like love poetry, stuff like that. Don't know why. Probably because it's not because I don't feel comfortable doing that. That's probably because it's as a man, I'm conditioned not to talk about these things.
Well, that's a stereotype.
Yeah, that's a stereotype right there.
True.
There are certain connotations with that kind of thing as well, because coming off to like a stereotypical female can also mean like you're not taken as seriously, because there are different connotations with those kind of things. So I feel like maybe that's something that I have maybe subconsciously, maybe I don't know if it's the reason, but I feel like, yeah, people won't take me as seriously if my character comes up too feminine, or she's not going to be perceived as strong or as I don't know what. So that might be, so it depends on the connotations, why you're afraid of not coming up to serve. I mean, there are obviously negative sides to both stereotypes, because there are stereotypes and they're not good. But yeah, like maybe that's the reason why I'm like avoiding to be, I mean, the biggest reason is to show people that there's another way, but another reason could be that, because I want, as we talked before, like strong female characters. If people perceive females to be weak or whatever, not to be taken seriously, then I want to show people, no, look, you can. But
and I think in order to achieve a shift in how society thinks about men and women, literature or any kind of media, I mean, there are a million ways to do it, but I think for me, for my writing, I wouldn't want to do it in a way that, how can I say that? That you said something really great before, you said that should be subtle, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has to be subtle, but I don't think it has to be right in your face either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good if it's maybe somewhere in the middle, somewhere in between.
Exactly. Because then it's more realistic. It's not all about, look, I'm not a stereotypical female. Because then that becomes, again, a one-dimensional character.
Yeah, exactly.
You want more.
Like, do you know the term Mary Sue? Or what is that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's this, I think it comes from Star Trek, where there's one episode with this, like, female character who's like the hyperbole of a strong female character, and she's smarter and stronger and better in any way than any male character, and to the point where it's just ridiculous, where she doesn't have any,
like a parody
which doesn't have any personality. And I think that's been adapted to just call female characters like that a Mary Sue,
mm-hmm.
where it's just, okay, we get it, you're you're the best, you're better than any man. but who are you really?
Okay, yeah. That's good to know, actually.
I think it's become to be used quite derisively there as well. Like, as a... every time writers try to present an authentic and strong woman, the woman might immediately be called a Mary Sue, even though it's not actually the case. Like, for instance, Hermione in the Harry Potter books and stuff like that. Katniss Everdeen. Or especially, I saw it especially happened with how should you call them, the one in the Star Wars movie?
Rey?
Yeah, Rey. She's like one of those who got, there was, you know, the big anti-feminist backlash was, you know, calling Mary Sue out all over the place.
I just remember the one guy who edited the last Star Wars movie so there weren't any women in it.
Oh, God, oh my God.
Must be a great movie.
When I said, like, I want to reshape the way that people think, and it should not be shouting in their faces, but, like, really subtle, and they should be able to resonate with that and be influenced by that. But for that to happen is people to have an open mind to it. And I feel like if you're maybe going out of that norm in your characters, maybe some people might reject it and not even... This is, like, I'm not even allowing my kids to read this kind of thing, or myself. Yeah. That could be a risk, but then, like, I wouldn't not write it because of
feminist writing is actually all about revising these master narratives that are created by patriarchal societies and...
Gynocriticism, I think there was this... What do you call it? People actually, studied the female literature and rewrote on more of a feminist perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what you were saying, there was a thing. Yeah.
Have you heard about the Bechdel test?
Mm-hmm.
It's a test that can be applied to any kind of media, and it basically has three rules. It asks the question whether there are women in the story, if they talk to each other, and if they talk to each other about something other than a man.
Okay.
And that's kind of a test that tells you if the story is feminist or not. Because if there's, if there's no women in there, makes sense. If there are women in there, but they don't talk to each other, pretty bad too. And if they only talk about men,
That's a great test.
It is a great test, but, and now my question comes, it has limited me sometimes in writing stories because I always had it in the back of my head, and I was kind of sanctioning myself whenever I had women in a story who talked about a man, which is completely stupid, I know, but voice in my head always said, don't let them talk about a man, let them talk about something else, they have to talk about something else, they cannot be talking about men. Are there enough women? Do they talk to each other? And it kind of sometimes really, really limited me in writing the story, because sometimes it just happens that women talk to each other about men. It doesn't mean that they only do that or always do it, but when they sometimes do, I feel like I'm falling into the trap of not having the back.
Yeah, that's right.
That test still.
Just to add to that, we're talking about like a base level of feminist ideas. Two women talking to each other about something that's not a man is like a very basic feminist idea.
I understand like why there might be this kind of like perspective, this kind of test, which is like, as I said, like, it's an amazing test, like when I first heard it, but as you explained it, actually I can see like why it might be limiting, because I had something in my story where a guy helps a girl, and then like, I wasn't sure, like, is this feminist enough, because like, just because he's a guy and helps her doesn't mean she needs help, but because he knows a certain thing about this field, could have been a woman, or could have been somebody else, but it's because of his personality, his historical background, that he's able to help in that situation to that female character. And then I was thinking, like, like, she's strong, she can help herself, or she can help him, but the course of my story, actually, like, he happens to be there and he happens to help her. And then I was like, should I change it? Should I not change it? It was, to me, like, really, what should I do? Because it's not going to come off feminist, but at the same time, this is my story and this is what happened.
Exactly.
This is what came to me. So I understand why it might be really limiting and makes yourself like
and also,
doubtful.
I think there can be feminist situations between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not a good idea to not write about those, because that's actually the ones that we need. Because
mm-hmm.
we need to change the interaction of men and women in society to kind of change the way people think about that and each other. So, yeah, sometimes I really have trouble of applying that test to my stories.
Just to be a little controversial here, I think it is, like, the Bechdel test is definitely, like, a good, like, standard when you are writing about, like, female characters. But I don't think if you don't pass the test, I don't think it means that your text is bad. It doesn't have to mean that your text is anti-feminist. Like, recently, I thought about a short story that I wrote, and after I wrote it and read it, I realized there wasn't a single female character in it. But I also thought about it, like, okay, it's definitely not a feminist text because it's not a single woman, but it doesn't mean it's anti-feminist.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, it's definitely great to have feminist texts
mm-hmm.
and stories, but you can write a good story, doesn't have to be feminist.
That is true. Or, like, have any female characters, because maybe it's the situation it's your story
mm-hmm.
and that's how it happened in your mind with male characters, and why should you force yourself to add female characters just to balance it out in a way, because in this story you just don't have it. And I also feel like going back to that, when, like, we're not sure if this is a feministration or not, I feel like maybe it's more about balancing it out. So if you have a situation where it comes off, you didn't intend it, but it comes off anti-feminist, you could have another sort of, like, she helps him and he helps her, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, always something that kind of compensates with that.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you don't have to leave out something or try to, like, force it into another, like, or connect it into another event or situation, but you could just, like, try to balance it out. So maybe that's a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say that, yeah, a man helping a woman or two women talking about a man isn't necessarily not feminist. It's just, I think the whole purpose of the Bechdel test is that it's ridiculous to have book series with, like, five or six books in them, or, like, The Lord of the Rings, like, three very thick volumes. There's, like, hardly any women in there. And
mm-hmm.
if I don't think The Lord of the Rings even passes the second step. Like, it doesn't even have two women talking to each other. Like,
true.
It's just
true.
A base level of... And also, like, that just makes the story worse, too, because that's not a good story at all. Of course, yeah, if you write a short story in a homosocial environment where there's just men, it's perfectly fine. You might also have... I don't know, if you write if it goes past that, if you write novel, for instance, about a homosocial environment, like the military, which used to be largely homosocial, not so much anymore, but even there, it's completely unrealistic for a soldier there not to meet a woman at some point of his everyday life, because there's women everywhere in this
mm-hmm.
world. So it's like it's just a base level of quality for longer stories. And
so,
I wouldn't even say it's like determining whether your text is feminist or not. That's just a seal of quality for me.
So maybe keep it in mind, but not take it too seriously. Took a message from that, for me at least. Like, yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing. I can't forget about it anymore, that's
mm-hmm.
the thing. But maybe not stick to it, like, surely or so, but, like, strictly, but just try to be flexible with it.
It's a good guideline, definitely.
Feminism doesn't mean actually for women to reject the idea of marriage,
of
motherhood,
of
feelings. Because if I think of myself, I wrote love poems,
mm-hmm.
and they always broke me down, and I always thought, oh, it's so cliche, But I had to accept that I have those feelings. And I'm not a non-feminist or not a not free woman because I have these feelings towards someone.
It's definitely not about hating men or whatsoever.
But
it does like come off like that as well to maybe anti-feminists or people that are against this. But it is the way it is. Like, we shouldn't be afraid of really being. That's what I meant by when I'm afraid of being too feminine. That's a bad sign as well, because I have feminine side. I'm maybe more than masculine because I'm a female. I don't know. It can be. Or somebody else, some other girl could be so stereotypical that sometimes I judge that person because I'm like, oh, it's too feminine. But we have those feelings and we shouldn't also be afraid of having them or acting in a feminine way, because it shouldn't be bad. Just not have one side of you that is just, it shouldn't be all about you to be feminine. There should be other things to you. That's the difference.
And of course, men also have those feelings, and just women. But when you tell us about these masculine and feminine sides, you also think about androgyny maybe within yourself. So it's like it's like having both masculine and feminine side. So it's like that. It's like 50-50.
I can't give percentages, but I think that everybody has qualities from different sort of gender
is a spectrum.
Exactly.
And I think especially artists are more sensitive and more open to these.
It becomes harmful if you come to a point where you're like, you can't be yourself because of your gender, because what people expect of you. Or most of the times this is subconscious. You don't even notice that you're not being yourself because of the social expectations that are associated with your own gender.
But otherwise,
you have qualities from everything about genders. It's normal.
Something I'm wondering about, because I've read about that and talked with people about that they think what is important in novels to distinguish a male narrator from a female narrator is to describe the way that, how does the man see the woman he or his, the woman he loves or whatever, how he describes her. He would, this is not what I think, but he would describe her beauty and her physical features more than she would describe his character or his feelings or whatever more, or that they are different in the way that they deal with certain situations. If they, I don't know, if they feel very bad, maybe men would rather get drunk and women would talk to their girlfriends. I don't know about these things, it's just something I heard. And I personally think it's rubbish, again, because I don't think that's true. But yeah, I just wanted to throw it around and see what
I think it's comes the media back. Thing. I think in reality people react in so many different ways, but because media is always depicting it in certain ways, like as you said, most of the movies or commercials or so are just like that, like a girl would talk to her girlfriends or a man would get drunk or basically not talk about. I also had watched a TED talk about that, like when he claims like men are sort of not supposed to share their feelings so much, and they also don't share it with each other. They don't seek help because it's maybe something that is associated with being powerful and being able to handle your own problems on your own and stuff. So this is the way that is always shown. It's out there. And maybe that's like a circle where people actually see that and they sort of act like you.
But then again,
and girls and everything.
Would it be an unauthentic representation of a man or a woman in literature if one wouldn't adhere to these standards and wouldn't say that a man talks about his love interest, who is a woman, by describing the way she looks more than her personality, or that he doesn't talk to his guy friends when he's feeling bad but goes to a bar and gets drunk? I don't know. I don't think it should be like that, but I think it could be for some readers, if they read a story like that, they would say, I'm sorry, but your male character is really unrealistic and not relatable and not authentic because he was written by a woman in a way that, I don't know, he's more female than male. I mean, criticism, we always get criticism for things we write, of course, but it's just something that I thought might happen and might come up.
I wouldn't call it like unauthentic, but maybe like surprising. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of these things that you just gave as an example, kind of like, it's just examples of like toxic masculinity. And if we have like a scene in a book or a movie about like two male characters talking about their emotions, like in a, I think you could like structure and write it in different ways. You could make it an extreme where they just behave typically feminine,
mm-hmm.
or you could just, I think that is like a scarecrow masculine way to talk about your feelings,
mm-hmm.
and I think that would just be like a nice surprise, and I think that would just be a healthy portrayal of a friendship,
mm-hmm.
but actually I wanted to add something to your question about depicting the characters of the opposite sex. Because a little while ago I saw this thing on Twitter where there was this male author who said he is the proof that men can write realistic women, and gave like an excerpt from one of his stories. Leah knows what I'm talking about. And it was just a woman, like from a woman's perspective, describing herself as tall but not too tall, and wearing jeans so tight that if she had her credit card in her pocket, you could see the expiration date, and it started this like this trend of women who were supposed to like, describe herself like a man would, and like a lot of comments like, "Here I am with my boobs and my long legs." I would just wish for like a book written from a woman, written by a woman from like a male's perspective, like the other extreme, like, "Here I am with my penis, just thinking about my genitals all day and how sexy I am."
Oh, great.
Perfectly fine, I'd say, yeah, isn't it?
It's very authentic.
Maybe there are people who actually do that, like... Yeah. I really don't know.
Sure.
I'm sure there are, yeah. And I'm sure they might be very powerful and have a lot of power to do very horrible things, like
very bad haircuts.
Like, yes, and they are very famous for their hair as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate right now. Not personally. Oh, God.
On this note, we're going to call it a day. I think we're having another episode on gender, maybe even two other episodes. I feel like this is a topic that yields a lot of content for us, and there's other people also who have expressed their interest on being on such a panel. So you guys, is there any place where the people can find you on the internet?
Okay, Ellie speaking. You can find me on Ellika Blogspot. I think you'll write it down in the description.
Sure.
It's about my poetry and some of my travels. And I also have an Instagram page where I discover alternative cafes all around the world that I think are worth to be known more or discovered. So if you want, you could check that out.
I have a blog where I publish all my writings in German and in English. You can find it under detintenfisch.wordpress.com.
You can find me on Twitter at fipsterhipster. Leo is going to write it in the description, so...
You will.
you don't have to figure out how to spell it.
You can find me on Twitter at Leo Engelmeyer, which I will also put in the description because nobody can spell that name, not even I can. This was episode 11 of the Universe podcast. If you enjoyed it and would like to hear more of us, make sure to subscribe to the Universe podcast wherever you're listening to it. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to tell us what you think and help other people find the program. And tell all your friends about it. Comments? Questions? You can reach us on Twitter, we're at PodUniverse, on Facebook, or on our email address, podcast@universe.univie.org. This podcast was edited and hosted by Leonhard Engelmeier. The guests on this episode were Elibnaz Kabalje, Charlotte Zerz, Dora Bona, and Philip Kreuz. On the editorial board for this episode was Charlotte Zerz. I hope you visit this planet in the universe again. In the meantime, stay safe in space. Thank you for listening.